You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com. Interstate Batteries offers a wide variety of batteries for your everyday needs. Stop into one of their thousands of retail locations and talk with a battery specialist about batteries for your truck, trail cameras, and even those weird batteries for your rangefinder. Interstate Batteries even offers cell phone repair in certain locations. For more information, visit interstatebatteries.com. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Go Wild is a free social community created for and by hunters. This means that unlike mainstream social media, your trophy pictures won't be censored. They're encouraged. As you spend time on Go Wild, you will earn awesome rewards such as gift cards, free swag, and big discounts on brands like Garmin and Vortex. You will even earn $10 just for signing up. Visit downloadgowild.com and sign up today.
All right, everybody, we are back, and I got a big announcement here, everybody. I want you to listen closely. Robbie is back in the house.
Yep. Been gone for a while.
Oh, man.
That long while.
Oh, man. So how was your castration? I mean, getting married.
It was good. It was pretty good. It's a whirlwind. Went by real quick. Nobody lies when they said the day you spend a year planning and then it's gone.
Flies by.
Yeah.
That was a honeymoon.
Hours. That was a lot of fun. Went down to the Dominican. That was a good time and just sat and ate and drank and got sunburnt. Yep. And then came back and I guess two weeks later we finally got to move into our house, and that was a process getting in, just getting everything moved and painting all the walls. And
it's looking good.
Yeah, it's looking good now.
A little bit more comfortable feeling now that it's done and into fruition.
Yeah, exactly. And I got to talk to my neighbor the other day, and I said, I assume you saw that we haven't been home any weekend since June 11th. He's like, yeah, I did notice that. And then I said, yeah, and we're not going to be home at all now either, because her field hockey started up this week. My football started up this week. Her school starts up next week. And
there's always something going on keeping us busy.
Crazy,
fall's a busy time. I mean, summer's a busy time. And, you know, we've been plenty busy with kiddos here. I mean, tonight we're recording this intro, and I got a two-year-old sitting on my lap who is playing with your watch and probably making some noises and babbling in the background. And you know, when we first started this, I was like, oh, we got to make sure we don't have that background noise in here. And I'm at the point now where I don't care if you want to sit on my lap for an intro.
I'm sure people like it.
Yeah, and if they don't, well, I'm sorry. I apologize. But, are you going to have any time to go hunting?
Oh, yeah, I'll still have time. Well, she said, you can roll your eyes at this, but she said that she wants to get up to camp more and more this fall.
Oh, yeah?
Which is, I'm fine by that. Saturday, if she doesn't have any Saturday games, we can go up and maybe put some trail cams up at my family's camp and get up with my cousins and go up then. But yeah, I've been trying to shoot my bow. I mean, we shot together the other weekend, and
yeah, you're shooting good. I mean, just keeping consistent reps, I think, is the biggest thing.
Yeah, and the biggest thing I think too, I always forget every year. I end the year. I have nice groups at 40, 50, 60 yards, and I have to remember to restart back at 20 yards and not just start slinging arrows at 50 yards right away, which I always forget to do. But
yeah, I started – I got my range set up at my house. I always wanted to have a 100-yard range, and I got targets from 20 all the way out to 100 in practice, and I'm trying to – I was shooting blank bill for a while, and I talked about this in another podcast. Hey, are you playing music here, kid? You know, you need to get off of the YouTube there. But I was shooting blank bale. I was shooting up close, just trying to build muscle.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if I go in and my muscles aren't tuned, I might, you know, get fatigued real quick. But I've been shooting, I was shooting at 50 yards and I backed up to 60 a little bit. And you know, I'm trying to work my way back and shoot to 100 and then shoot a lot of reps at 100 yards. And then probably what I'll do is when I'm getting to the point where I got plenty of reps in, I'll switch over to shoot deer. Exactly. We're going to be shooting deer. I'll switch over to broadheads.
Yep.
But before this kid starts to make his entrance and take my position as the host of this show, let's talk about this week's show. This week we are chatting with a reoccurring guest, Mr. Phil Holcomb, and Phil is the president of the Bowhunters Festival up there in Forksville. And for those of you who don't know, that is a 60-year annual event, with one exception being COVID.
COVID, yeah.
But that is a fantastic opportunity for people to go out, shoot their bows. I mean, they got courses all over. They got the running deer target, and there's vendors there. There's the camaraderie. We've been on this kick in a lot of our episodes lately, like the camaraderie aspect. And that's big. I get into that kick where I want to shoot a big deer, but at the end of the day, I think one of the hunts I'm looking forward to the most all the time is the ones when we go to camp and we're with everybody. Yep. It's just something about it. But there's a great aspect to that. But if you've never been to that Bowhunters Festival, I mean, it is impressive. It's a three-day weekend, and it's coming up here, I believe, the weekend of September 17th. Mm-hmm. And Phil's going to tell us all about it and kind of talk about the history of it a little bit and the upcoming event, what's going on, what has to happen to make that happen. And Phil's just like you and me. He loves to talk bow hunting, so we get in on a couple tangents here and there. But, no, it's a great episode. So, hey, real quick before we get started here, shout out to Little Mountain Outfitters. Guys, if you need a new bow, if you need to get a Prime, a Bear, a Matthews, a PSC, or if you just need to get arrows, accessories, or maybe you want to check out some of the saddle hunting gear, Rambo, electric bikes, maybe you need to fine-tune and finally get some food plot seed. You know, we got that coming here. You know, whatever that might be. It is right around the corner this season, guys, and Little Mountain Outfitters has you covered. Richland, Pennsylvania, check them out. And with that, Lucas and I are going to head out, and we're going to let you go right to this season. Right to this season, right to this episode. Right to this episode, right, Lucas? What do you do to deer?
Shoot deer.
Shoot deer, that a boy. Shoot your bear. All right, guys, we'll catch you at the end of this. We'll see you. All right, I got another reoccurring guest with me this week, Mr. Phil Holcomb. How you doing, man?
Doing great, bud. How are you?
Hey, we're grinding. I am watching the days of preparation dwindle. I always try to have, like, any of the private lands that I had. I try to have everything, the majority of things wrapped up by around Labor Day. That way I got like a month of downtime. You know, maybe I'll go and check some stuff out in public, or maybe I'll just try to buy some last minute brownie points here or there. But I always do this year. It's like we're right now as we're talking, it's the end of August leading into September, and I'm just watching the list stay the same size as it was in July and not really get smaller.
Yeah, I can completely sympathize with that. Traditionally, like, summer has always been like where I do probably the least amount. Like, I do like a lot of like the bare minimum stuff, the food plots, stands, checking on the stand or trimming out if it needs to be trimmed out, checking camera here and there. Maybe hanging a new one here or there, but like is really like I go hard basically from October till May. That's like that's all I do.
Yeah.
So summer is like I have to play catch up. Plus, my wife's a teacher, two boys in school, so they're home. And so, you know, I try to spend as much time with the family. I try to get as much done around the house. I do all that. So like summer has always kind of been a little more like, or I should say a little less, focused on my deer stuff. Right. So, just basically like doing the bare minimum stuff that needs to get done, and then that's it. And then also the past several years, it's a different preparation for different stuff for me. Being involved with the Pennsylvania Bowhunters Festival, that being in September, there's a lot of work that goes into making that happen. So a lot of that, a lot of time over the summer, free time, quote, free time, ends up going to trying to make that happen. So,
give me the background of that, man, because you shared with me kind of the history in your family and what the Bowhunters Festival looks like. I'm really interested to hear what your intro to that is. I mean, I know you got the whole history background, but share with us what that's like, man.
Yeah, so my grandfather and my great uncle were two of the founding members of the Pennsylvania Bowhunters Festival Association, the whole event, right? My great uncle actually was the bow hunter of the two. My grandfather was not a bow hunter. He's had shot bows before, but not into archery, not into bow hunting. And even from a hunting standpoint, he hunted, but they grew up in the Depression. So that was a subsistence thing. It was it was a social thing back then too. So, they went with, the dads and the granddads and the uncles and everybody and the cousins up to a deer camp and stuff like that. But, my grandfather he was much more of a inventor, tinkerer type person. Like, he basically could make anything out of anything. Growing up, like I said, in the Depression, it was one of those things where if you needed something, you'd better know how to make it, And, so he was really gifted with his ability to, kind of engineer things. He was a jack of all trades, whether it was mechanical, fabricating, machining, welding, carpentry, plumbing, electric, you name it.
The stuff you had to learn on your own or you couldn't afford to do it.
Exactly. And, just incredible. If I even could have a fraction of the stuff that he forgot, I'd be far, far, far further ahead than I am now.
I feel you.
I did not get that. I did not inherit any of that from just for the record. I am not. I'm handy enough.
You got the bow hunter gene, though. That's the better one, if you ask me.
Yeah. Well, the way he actually, in the later years, my grandfather, got to see me get more and more into hunting and more strategic and more involved with habitat and habitat manipulation and design. And he was you could see the gears grinding in his head. And the one time he told me, you may not be, tearing this engine apart and rebuilding it with me. He's like, but you're doing a different kind of engineering, it's a different thing, a different application, but it's kind of the same mindset, mm-hmm. And the same kind of, design theory, the way the parts fit together, the way the pieces work together and all that stuff. So, maybe I got some of that base level, aptitude for kind of thinking in those ways, but I didn't get any of the mechanical skills. but anyway, so he and his brother, my great uncle, really my great uncle and a bunch of his friends, they had a club that was a bow hunting club, up here in Sullivan County. And, they decided they were going to do a little get together every year, in the fall. Kind of as a preseason prep, get together, get a bunch of people, shoot, kind of a swap meet type deal. Back then, a lot of people made their own gear. That type of thing. And, so my great uncle kind of was asking my grandfather, hey, we're trying to figure out some different target scenarios for this bow hunting, you know, event that we do, and we want like some moving targets, some mechanical targets. Like, what do you think you could do? So that's kind of where he entered, where my grandfather entered. So he came up with a target that's now pretty much, it's known as the running deer, target.
And is that still the original like setup?
More or less. So it's probably my understanding of what we're running today is, you know, so the event's been going on for 65 years.
Okay.
It is mostly original with some various upgrades, we'll call them. Mm-hmm. And then the actual building that houses it, it is new, not original. And like, it's essentially, it's the same operating principle, and it's mostly the same parts and pieces. I have a coon hound trying to get on the chair with me. If you see me trying to swat away, it's Hank the tree walker coon hound's trying to get on the couch. So at any rate, it's so they came up with this mechanical running deer target. It got, you know, very popular, and like the event just started to grow.
Deer target is so freaking cool, and for one thing, just because it's fun, but like I watch and listen to, I just listened to an episode that the Ohio podcast did, Andrew Muntz and Paul Campbell, and they did with Dr. Ed Ashby, and he was talking about his intro into bow hunting and talking about arrow setups, of course, in 12-factor arrows, but he made a comment at one point about shooting at moving targets. He's like, well, that was just natural. We didn't know to stop deer. He goes, that was just a natural thing. And like nowadays, like I don't personally shoot at walking deer in any case with a bow, and it's like shunned. You're like shunned if you do. It's just such
it's
a
taboo.
Different. It's taboo. It's so different now.
Yeah, and you know, and like I remember there was these videos like on VHS, like way back hunting videos. I forget who these guys were, but they were from, I want to say they were from like Central New York somewhere, and they hunted with recurves, and so they made hunting videos, and like they were out, they didn't hunt from tree stands. There was no tree stand. They were all like just still hunting, spotting, stalking. They were shooting deer from the ground with these, with recurves, and they were shooting running deer with recurves. And then they showed their practice. They had a bunch of these truck tires rigged up with like a sack of some sort tied in and duct taped into the center of it. And they would roll it down and they would shoot that, you know, they had like basically kind of like a pie plate size, like target area and like the sack inside the tire. And these guys were hitting that like eight inch circle on a running back, like a bouncing truck tire coming down a hill.
It's mesmerizing, you know, to me. Like, I just shoot a compound, and I love my compound. Yeah. But, like, the things that people can do with some of those old setups, it just blows my mind. That's like the boys from the men.
I also think instinctive shooting with that equipment, I think that's more – it lends itself more to being able to shoot moving targets than kind of the modern compound, which is more like rifle shooting, like a little more like you got pins, you've got a peep sight, you have a whole draw cycle, you have this whole thing that isn't like, you know, like a real fast, instinctive kind of type of thing. I think that's a big part of it, but obviously we get a lot of people shooting at the running deer every year.
Absolutely.
And shooting with modern compounds, everything. And once you get a feel for that, like these guys are belting them in there, and our running deer targets, it's 40 yards.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, it's a little bit of a poke and it's a moving target. And I would say there's a lot of guys that are more than capable of making an ethical shot on a moving target with a compound than a lot of people would think. Am I wholesale endorsing like that as a, you know, a way to shoot at a deer with a bow? Not really, no. But
yeah,
I'm just saying, I think, you know, we have the moral and ethics police out there in the world that wants to wholesale judge everybody for everything and take it out of context. So
there's like a major identity crisis going on in the hunting and archery world, because everybody wants to model off of so-and-so, and then when somebody else follows a different suit and goes and follows so-and-so, then there's this, you know, pissing match back between the two.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And at the end of the day, it's like, you need to know what your capabilities are. You need to know what your goals are, and then you need to cater towards that. Like, I shoot a compound. I shoot a hinge release. I wait till deer are broadside quartering away. I try to shoot this type of deer on this type of ground that I hunt. And this is and that's me. And I'm going to try to do that how I can. And I know that I'm not the big, you know, big tough public land grinder like that we've come to do. I love that people do that, and I love hunting public land, but that's not me. That's not my identity, and that's okay.
Yeah, and I always put it this way: hunt your own hunt.
Mm.
That's it. That's all you have to do. And you know what? You'll be happy that way. Just hunt your own hunt. Hunt how you want to hunt. Just own it. Try to get as good at it as you possibly can and enjoy it. And who cares if, you know, Joe Cool Guy hunts this way or hunts that way or, you know, all that stuff. Like, that's just, it doesn't matter, you know. Just hunt your own hunt and just try to get as good at it as you can. But those, to me, that's like the winning combination. Honestly, as I've gotten older and I've gone way more that direction of hunt my own hunt and try to get as good at it as I can, I have a whole new level of enjoyment.
Absolutely.
You know, so that's the key thing. But
anyway, we're on the Bow Hunters Fest, man. Yeah. You're talking about the running deer. We easily do that, get on tangents and stuff. But hey, that's all right, man. Yeah. So keep on. You were telling me about the running deer target, the engineering behind that, and kind of leading in with your grandfather, then that foundation. Keep rolling, man.
Great. So yeah. So my introduction to the Pennsylvania Bow Hunters Festival came early. I always like to say I'm 42 years old, but I've been going for 43 years because I was born in October. My mom was there in September, right the month before I was born. So I was there in utero, you know what I mean? So I have a lot of deep, you know, family ties to it. And the great part about it is there's a lot of other people like me with just very deep ties, multi-generational, not only on the volunteer side, but on the attendee side. It's super critical to our success has just been the level of commitment. There's just something about it that strikes, you know, and resonates with a lot of people to the point where, you know, they're bringing their kids up in it, their grandkids up in it, you know, like they're... It's phenomenal to be a part of it. It's phenomenal to see. And it's just, you know, it's something that I, you know, people that know me, you know, basically that's like one of the things, you know, one of the things that most people who know me can say, hey, name something or one thing that Phil Holcomb does. You know what I mean? And that's probably going to be in the top three things that they say is Bowfest, because, yeah, you know, it is. I mean, I'm always wearing a Bowfest shirt or a Bowfest hat. I'm always talking about it. I'm always trying to recruit people. Like, hey, come on up, check it out. I'm always trying to recruit volunteers. So, you know, in this day and age, it's hard to find people who want to help, want to work, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So Yeah, but you know, it's just it's a long-standing tradition. It's in Forksville, Sullivan County, Pennsylvania. It's at the Sullivan County Fairgrounds. It's just it's a 3-day event. It's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Got the one of the more popular state parks in the state, right up the road, World's End State Park. Plenty of camping there. It's surrounded by Loyal Sauk State Forest. There's all sorts of camping opportunities there. There's private campgrounds. There's bed and breakfast. There's Airbnbs. I mean, there's a million ways to come up and make a weekend out of it. It's a great way to kind of get away for a weekend, do some shooting, you know, get to eat some good food, hang out with a bunch of other people who share the same interest, get some new gear. You know, just, it's awesome. We have, you know, the fairground sits right down in the Loyal Sauk Creek Valley. And on our side of the creek where the fairgrounds are, it butts right up against the mountain. We have three 3D trails that go up onto the mountain. I don't even know exactly how many targets there are on there. There's a lot. There's a short course, a medium course, and a long course. And it's pretty challenging terrain. It's not flat. There's all sorts of different shots. I think the longest one's like 70 or 71 across this big ravine. It's a super cool shot. So there's varying distances, all sorts of different animals. It's awesome. And then we have a bunch of stationary targets, ranging like from basically 15 to like 50. We have kids designated stationary target area. We have like the running deer target. We have small game running targets, moving targets. We have a timed clay pigeon shoot, which is kind of like a competition type thing where there's a certain number of clays set up and you have to basically shoot that number of clays in a certain amount of time. That has like bleachers next to it. A lot of people like to, you know, just kind of watch everybody go through that. Then we have a steel boar challenge, which is basically, as the name, you know, implies, a steel boar silhouette with a vital area that has a soft target behind it. That has a competition aspect to it as well. Then, of course, we have vendors, different archery shops, and generally hunting related type of merchandise. And then we have food concessions. We have a big chicken barbecue on Saturday, Saturday afternoon. It's just an awesome atmosphere. Everybody gets along, you know, it takes a lot of dedicated volunteers to pull it off. And it, you know, every year we get between 3,000 and 4,000 people through the gates, so it's a pretty big event.
That's a huge event. Now, you, from the time it got started, it was obviously a gathering, you know, you shared kind of, can you tell me what you have seen in your lifetime kind of grow, expand, evolve to now, but what has also kind of stayed the same, maybe whether that's just a size or just a tradition aspect of that fest?
Yeah, so when I was a kid, you know, still pretty young, compounds were like the shift from the traditional archery, the recurves and the longbows and everything, had just, the shift from them to compounds had just taken place. So I always kind of remember it as like there was like a little bit of a competitive spirit between like the guys who were shooting the traditional equipment and the compound guys. So I kind of like, that's like the, my earliest kind of like recollection of it, like of kind of how people were interacting and stuff, and like how certain like competitions kind of came to be. It used to be, like there was a big crowd that would, as long as we had the lights on, they would shoot all night if we would let them. You know what I mean? Like we, like it's a fairgrounds. We had big lights and everything, yeah. So we shoot until after dark. But I mean, it was like in a good way, like a very like festive party atmosphere where it was like, hey, we're here to shoot, so we're just gonna keep shooting, you know. And over time, that kind of aspect kind of mellowed out a little bit more. But I think that's because back at that point in time, while there was still a lot of families, it wasn't as family-oriented. And so as I think more and more of those kind of that age, like their kids became, you know, teenagers and then their 20s and stuff like that, and like then their kids started to have kids, like it started to get more family oriented.
The tradition fell into place,
right? And so it kind of mellowed out from that aspect. I mean, way back when they used to release wild boars up on the mountain and drive them down the mountain to a line of guys who paid however much for a chance to stand there and have a boar run by and shoot it with their bow. They used to do coon hunts. Guys with hounds would, it was before raccoons became a regulated fur bearer species. And they would do Friday and Saturday night. There was coon hunts, and that would run until who knows when. And there was houndsmen that would come, and they would run hounds and tree coons, and guys would shoot coons and possums and, you know, like all sorts of stuff. So,
wow.
Yeah, over time, it definitely has had multiple kind of eras that, you know, kind of came to an end, and the next one kind of took off. So, you know, I think right now we're at kind of probably like another kind of crossroads era where, you know, we're starting to have, in many cases, fourth generations are kind of starting to grow into the Bow Fest. So, you know, just kind of excited to see, like, kind of what the next iteration is. So, you know, it's good to see that we're able to kind of adapt and keep things moving. So, and I'm really just blessed to have the opportunity to be a part of it.
I love tradition. I love seeing it passed on. I love that you guys got stuff set up for kids and you're seeing that continue to pass on, because that's ultimately what we need to do in order to keep this sport going. Now, I'm really curious, since you've kind of taken a major part in the leadership role of this in your lifetime now, what in your mind is the next step, the next vision? What is your vision of growth or goal from perspective of this major awesome festival that happens on an annual basis at the end of September?
Yeah, I mean, that's the million-dollar question. There's a lot of challenges, but I think it's just a matter of continuing the tradition. All right, so continuing with the Bow Fest diehards, they're gonna continue to, you know, bring on the future generations. But I also think we need to continue to just be as relevant as possible within the bow hunting you know, community. Pennsylvania, obviously, you know, we have a very rich bow hunting tradition. We have a lot of bow hunters in this state. It's something that a lot of people are very passionate about. So it's just a matter of continuing to make sure that we just keep things as relevant as possible. I have been working on a number of projects to kind of further that along. I'm just not at liberty to discuss the specifics of it yet, but there will be some exciting things coming along, even for 2023, but 2023 and beyond.
Good deal.
And yeah, just urge everybody to you know, keep their eyes and ears open, and you know, good things are coming. But
anything that's got you fired up about this year?
You know, this is my my third year as president, my second event, because my first year was COVID. So, I'm having done one, and I'm still very much involved with the running deer target area, and that's where, you know, that's where I came out of, and that's always going to be something that I'm, you know, going to be a part of. So, as far as being the, you know, being the president and stuff, I'm kind of looking forward to this year, being able to get out and get around and just see a lot more. Because again, I spent so much time basically in the running deer target area. There's a lot of bow fest that honestly I never really got to see much because
that's your station
down there, right? I personally, I haven't even shot my bow at bow fest in like 15 or 16 years. Mm. the more and more I became involved, it just was like, you know, I'd throw the bow in the truck or whatever, and then next thing I know, we're tearing down shop on Sunday, and I'm like, I didn't even shoot. But, you know, which is no big deal. Like, I grew up shooting at bow fest. I shot, you know, I've shot everything. So if that means, you know, that if me not shooting means that everybody else gets that, you know, continue to have as many opportunities as possible, you know, I'm fine with that. You know what I mean? So, but I encourage anybody who's a volunteer with us, like, go shoot, have a good time. That's a big part of this, you know what I mean? So, but for 2022, I'm looking forward to just getting out there and seeing the people that I basically only see once a year. I see them at Bowfest. You know, there's a lot of volunteers and a lot of attendees that I've, you know, basically known for almost three decades, and I only see them 3 days a year, you know. And it's like every year it's like right back where, you know, you pick up right where you left off,
right.
and so those are the things I really enjoy, and I'm looking forward to.
Good deal. So the event is coming up here. What are the dates again this year, Phil?
16th, 17th, and 18th of September. Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Good deal. And it's been right around that same time frame for the beginning of time, basically, right?
Yeah. It's basically the third full weekend in September every year. That does present some problems. I know the special regs units in Pennsylvania, that's their opening day. Of course, people who travel, you know, elk hunt and Western hunts in some states open up, you know, their deer seasons, you know, earlier than that even. But, you know, it's still, initially, you know, when the event started, you know, most hunting seasons didn't open until the middle of October. So it was a month before, you know, most hunting seasons open. So, but yeah, so, you know, we just encourage everybody, come on up, have a good time, do some shooting, check some gear out, eat some good food, meet new people, come on, like I'm down in the Running Gear, feel free to stop down in the Running Gear building, get a tour, how the thing works, you know, and meet me, meet the guys who run it.
Good deal, good deal. Man, anything else that a person from the outside looking in, somebody that never has been there, you think just would find extra appealing, or just something that like just really pulls you to that event every year? I mean, the one thing that I like the area at the fairgrounds there, I mean, surrounding the Loyal Sock State Forest and everything else, like, it's a beautiful area.
Yeah. It is. It's absolutely gorgeous. Like I said, there's World's End State Park is like right up the road. And then the Loyal Sock State Forest is all through that area. You've got the town of Forksville, which is a neat little town with a covered bridge. You've got Hillsgrove right down the road. Also covered bridge there. You know, the just a really, really nice area to spend a weekend in September. We usually, in a lot of years, we get our first frost that weekend. If not, it's definitely going to be the first, you know, first morning you wake up and you're realizing you need another layer or two. That's usually kind of a nice sign. That fall's coming and that we'll be in the woods soon. excuse me. Yeah, I just did, you know, there's just a lot to do. There's something for everybody. Like I said, it's definitely a family event, so don't shy away from bringing wife, kids, whoever. You know, there's definitely something for everybody, and you know, it just has a good overall atmosphere. I think the diversity of different target shooting opportunities is probably not matched by any other event, and it's just fun, and that's the whole thing. Like, you know, it doesn't have to be about you know, the most realistic 3D hunting scenario competition. It's a lot of just fun shooting opportunities, you know, like stuff you can't do it in your backyard, you know, and, you know, like shooting them small moving targets and stuff and doing timed shoots and, you know, and those things all build skills and reinforce skills that, you know, are of benefit to you in the woods anyway. So doing those competitions, those time shoots and stuff, that adds that kind of layer of pressure that you know, kind of helps simulate what's going on when you're trying to get a shot off on a deer, you know. And at the same time, it's just for fun, you know. I can't stress that enough. Like, it doesn't, you know how we're all pretty serious.
Yeah, hunters for sure.
And bow hunters and stuff. And it's so easy to put the blinders on and just be, you know, so serious about it. And it's like, well, then if that's the case, then why do you do it? You know, it boils down to you got to have fun. So this is definitely one of those events where you can come out no matter what level you are, and you can have a great time.
We were talking about this the other day. Like, I think it's healthy to have a percentage of it where you are grinding and almost stressing yourself out about it and pushing yourself, because you're pushing yourself to be better. And I think when you take it as serious as we do, that's a good thing. But there's a healthy level to that at some point where you have to cut it off and have fun. One thing I'm thinking out loud as you're talking about the different shoots and everything else, Phil, can you give everybody an idea, like, the size of this and with respect to, you know, if somebody comes for one day versus an entire weekend? I mean, are you able to capture and engage in most of the bow fest in a day, or is it too big that you're not going to be able to really engage in every aspect of it?
Yeah, I think just one day would be pushing it. Especially if you've never been there before. I don't think you could really take it all in just one day. Mm. You know, the trails, like on the mountain, they can get busy. So you could get into that, and that can be an investment of 2 hours or more to get through the longest trail on a busy day. So, and then there's still the whole rest of the event, you know? I think making a day and a half, 2 days, is well worth it. And then you don't have to, and again, you don't have to be, you know, kind of under the pressure of, oh, I gotta try to do as much as possible. You can actually stop and enjoy things and take your time and just enjoy it, you know, instead of trying to feel like you got to cram it all in, you know. Nice. But yeah, so I would encourage people to come up, you know, if you're considering staying overnight, it's a pretty good idea to look into that probably by now, because things will start to get booked up pretty quick in the immediate vicinity. So, you know, you can still find opportunities close by, but like some of the real easy, you know, within a few minutes of the fairgrounds, that stuff goes fast. So that's definitely something to consider if you're considering an overnight stay.
Good deal. Well, thanks for sharing all this with us, Phil. Lastly, I was wondering, where can anybody like keep up with like anything to do with the Bow Fest, whether that's just finding the dates or, you know, and is there social media stuff? Like, what does that look like for people keeping up with it?
Absolutely. So, website is pabowhunters.com. You can just Google PA Bowfest or PA Bowhunters Festival. We're going to come up. Also on Facebook, PA Bowhunters Festival. That's really the two main ways right now, via Facebook and the website. So I encourage everybody to go check it out.
Good deal. Phil, thanks again for coming on. I can't wait to share this and drop this. I hope somebody hears this and has interest in coming up to Forksville this year. And if not, put a bug in their ear for next year, because it really is a fantastic event. It's all the things about hunting that we enjoy outside of the getting out and creation, the camaraderie, the companionship, and just that I always call it that camp atmosphere. There's something about camp, and it's got that.
Absolutely. And that's really what it is. And there's a lot of groups that come up together, and they are a hunting camp, you know. Maybe they have a camp in our general area, or they're a camp from somewhere else in Pennsylvania, and they come up together for the weekend, as a camp, and it's just like a continuation of the whole camp atmosphere.
Out of state people coming down to shoot too?
What's that?
Do you find out of state people coming to shoot too?
Oh yeah. Yeah. A lot of people. Basically every single state that touches Pennsylvania, that borders Pennsylvania, we get a pretty strong showing from.
Nice.
And beyond, you know, it's not uncommon to have people from, you know, several states away.
Good deal, good deal. Man, thanks for coming on, and hope this year is a success. And I also hope that, you know, it gets you tuned up. Hopefully you can get out and fling a couple of arrows and get ready for opening day here.
Yeah, I hope so. Maybe this year will be the year.
Take care, Phil.
All right, thank you.